This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Hello and welcome to The Forum. My guest on this weekend's show is Carlinville Mayor Sarah Oswald. And welcome to the show, Mayor.
Well, thank you for having me.
Today we are going to be discussing primarily a recent action taken by the Carlinville City Council, and that was the Carlinville Lake annexation into the city. And to start that off with, I thought you could maybe give us a little background of sort of how it got developed and why there were talks about the annexation process, and then we can go from there. How did really annexing the lake area in start?
Well, in 2007, there was a strip of land that went from the city limits to that touched the lake property, because you can only annex in if you're contingent. You know, if you're touching. So in 2007, they annexed a strip in, and it was for hopefully to annex in also to run a water line to give us permission. I think that was maybe for Garnet, but I'm not sure on that. So back then, I think they had in their mind that they wanted to annex in. It just never moved forward, and I don't know what. You know how government is. It doesn't always move forward like you think it's going to do. Basically, we own that property, and the reason that we wanted to annex it in is because we have different ordinances for the lake property and for the city property. They also don't have to go by our zoning rules because they're not annexed in. So those are two major things that when we change ordinances, they just totally apply to what's happening at the lake. Those were the two main reasons. We're having trouble with people keeping their properties clean out there, and zoning needs to apply just like it does in town, you know, keep your grass cut, things like that. So that was the main reason that they wanted to do that. Plus, we own it, and there's no reason for it not to be in. And we see more benefit it being in than not being in. Now, as far as the people that live out there, there aren't very many people that live full-time out there. But those people that do, and that's their main address, then they would be able to vote in city elections, and they can use our library, which now they can't. And believe it or not, I've had complaints about people not being able to use our library that are on city property. Also, your water bills go down because you're in the city and not out. So those are some perks that by us annexing it in would help the people that live out there full time. Now, obviously, there's a lot of people that have cabins that live other places. That really doesn't affect them with the voting and things like that.
Would that change the voting, since you mentioned voting, would that change voting to where you're going to have to maybe create a new precinct, or will they be grandfathered into a precinct that's nearest, or sort of how would that go?
We're thinking maybe, well, they're going to have to be put in a ward of the city, and we're talking, and this is a process that has to be done, but it would probably go in Ward 2, and then whatever precincts you had for Ward 2 would be what you were using. I really don't think there's that many people out there that vote because they don't live there full time. So I don't think that would be a problem in any way. And whatever ward they're adopted in to would take care of that part of it.
You spoke of zoning, and that probably is an important issue. As you say, many of the individuals out there just have part-time residences or whatever. But if they now fall under the city's zoning codes, whatever they may be, concerning a structure or their property or lease property out there, how will that go for, say, the part-timers versus the full-timers, and how long will it take before all this gets up to, I guess you would say, everything current?
Well, the zoning is going to apply to everybody out there, whether you live out there all the time or not, because they're on city property, and we have rules that they're going to have to follow. And I'm not saying everybody's a problem out there. Most people keep their areas very nicely. We have a few that don't, and then you don't have anything to fall back on because they're not part of the city and they don't go under our zoning code. So that's the main reason. Now, there's going to have to be lots of paperwork drawn up. there's going to have to be things filed. I don't think this is going to happen quickly. I haven't, the lawyer hasn't given me the exact procedure that it takes and how long it's going to take, but it'll take some time. That's the best I can say.
Another question I would have is, I know that Carlinville police patrol out at the lake some, but is this going to change how law enforcement is done at the lake as well, as far as, for whatever matter, maybe police would be needed?
Yes, it is, because right now they go out there, and when they're called, but they really can't do anything. They can't arrest them and things like that. They would have to call it because it's in the county. So it's a gray area, and it causes issues because the people out at the lake, they call the police, and then the police really don't have the authority maybe to do what's needed to be done. This will take care of all that. It'll be just like they're patrolling South Broad, any of our other streets. And whatever they can do in the city, they can do out there.
And as you said a bit earlier in the interview, much of this is going to take some time, as I guess things have to be rewritten and codified, or whatever you might say, as far as bringing everything in under now the annexation.
Yes. And there's a procedure. And lawyers have to draw up forms. And, you know, it just, I'm sure it'll take a few months at least.
Well, while we're having the chance to visit concerning some matters with the city of Carlinville, I thought I'd ask you also, the same evening that the annexation was approved by aldermen, there was an issuance of bonds that was approved as well. Maybe we could talk about that, as that involves, from my understanding, the new police department and so forth. Maybe you could talk about what that action was.
Okay. We bought a building. It started out, Rebuild Illinois had funds to help purchase buildings for police. And Avery Bourne got us $300,000. So we bought the old Frontier building. I think it was $250,000. And then we used the rest of the money for some asbestos removal and some things like that. It had to qualify to use it. So then we have this building that we got of no cost. So then we had to figure out how you're going to pay to remodel the inside of it. I guess I want to talk, too, about why we need a new police station. We're calling it a public safety center. And partially we're calling that because I think SEMA, which is now part of, it's located in the fire house, which the fire department is no longer under the city of Carlinville, they're their own district. So the plan is to move SEMA in this public safety center. And to also, there's going to be a community room where people can have meetings. Which is why they're trying to open it up so there's more option for people to meet in places that can accommodate them. And it's not going to be huge. Some of the meeting rooms are huge. This is going to be, you know, just a modern size. Say you want to have a Lions Club meet in there, for example, there would be room for that. Our old police station, it's just not adequate for today's standards. And let me talk a little bit about that. Okay, when somebody is arrested in Carlinville, they go to our police station. And if they have a disease of some kind, or we had an instance where somebody had a staph infection and they were not being very, they were contaminating places, the same places that our dispatchers use, that the other police use. So we don't have any place to put them where they're away from what's going on. We also have times where we have children, where their parents have both been arrested, and we have to hold children till we can find where we can place them. And right now, we have a room with a desk in it. And they try really hard to accommodate it, but the new public safety center will have a room dedicated to children where if they have to be held for hours at a time, there's things in there for them to do. the new police station also has an updated processing area, which I'm trying, this gets a little complicated, but it has separate air zones, which means that when someone comes in, whatever's going on with them doesn't go through the whole building. It doesn't contaminate the whole building. And that's important at this point. We don't have showers for our policemen, especially with the COVID. You know, they're touching people, and then they go home to their homes. And that's not really the way that should go. So the new center will have showers and lockers. So if police wish to shower before they go home, they can. We also will have an enclosed sally port, which means once they drive their car in there, they'll lock it all down and nobody can run away, and it gives them more control. So those are some of the reasons why it's worth $2.5 million to remodel a building so we can have those things for our police department.
And that was the amount of the bonding, correct?
Yes, yes. And the bonding, it took a long process, but that's all done by lawyers and all that, too. We got a great interest rate on that. It's probably the best it could be if you're going to borrow $2.5 million.
And with that, you explained a lot about the new facility and things like that. Is there a tentative timeline for the new facility to be up and running?
I think they're going to start it September 1st, and I think it's about 6 to 9 months from that point, if everything goes correctly.
We have come to the end of the show. I'd like to thank you, Mayor Oswald, for joining us on the forum program this weekend.
Thank you for having me.
And you can join us again next weekend for another edition. For WSMI, I'm Rick Davis.